everyone, and welcome in once again to the Talking Puck Podcast. I'm Tom Callahan, joined by Mike Haynes. As always, thank you so much for being here with us. If you like what you hear, please like, follow, and subscribe. We are available wherever you get most of your podcasts. And of course, Mike and I are live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on Twitch and on YouTube for Talking Puck TV. So, Mike, there's a lot of stuff, you know, that we talked about kind of before we started rolling here a little bit, different storylines going on. And a lot of them seem to be in the Pacific Division. So why don't we end up just talking about the Pacific? Because there's so much going on here. And by way of me starting out, I said, well, you know, Anaheim and L.A. being in a playoff spot is a bit of a surprise at this part of the season. And then, of course, you brought up Vegas and Jack Eichel. And, you know, there's so many storylines. Edmonton is in free fall. Mm-hmm. Bruce Boudreau in Vancouver. And, you know, right. The funny thing is the one team we don't talk much about in the Pacific is the Seattle Krakens, but Kraken. But where do you want to go with this one? You could start out anywhere you want because there's so many stories.
I think the big story right now is Eichel. And the potential... If this works out for him to be on the same line, now Pacioretty's got to get healthy too.
Right.
Yeah. Pacioretty, Eichel, and Stone. Where is that potentially in the National Hockey League as best line? Is that a top three in the NHL potentially? Best
line? I think
so.
Absolutely.
Has to be, right? Oh, how fun would that be? So, but I think, boy, there's a lot of different angles to go at here. First of all, I know this is a surprise to you, but I'm not a doctor.
but you're going to play one anyway.
I'm going to play one on podcast. But if this, he's supposed, you know, as we're doing this podcast, he's supposed to really start skating hard. I mean, he's been light skating, but it's gearing up now, and with the hope of maybe next month in February that he is able to play, which is unbelievable. What's interesting about his health situation is the thought was probably he's going to have to come back in March. But now it looks like he might be able to, if everything goes along according to plan, come back in February. And he is helped out by the fact that the NHL is not going to have their players go to the Olympics. And there will be games during that three-week period. So he may get back. And with that possibility of playing with Pacioretty and Stone at some point, becoming one of the top lines in the NHL. But again, not a doctor, but this is amazing what has happened in the medical field. What you look back at guys like Bobby Orr, who, you know, suffered those knee injuries, ruined his career, and look what Eichel, who made this the medical decision along with his doctor about how they wanted to do this to get him back to be able to play. Tom, it's amazing what is done now medically to these players. The fact that he is going to be skating harder and possibly playing next month, it's incredible. And the Buffalo, and I know we get a lot of people from Buffalo who listen, they got to be shaking their heads in Buffalo. Like, did we make a serious mistake here?
I don't want to beat the dead horse, but I did want to bring that up and move on, is how bad does this look now on the Buffalo Sabres and their medical staff. And now it lends credence to players like Robin Lehner, who said they misdiagnosed him. They screwed up his rehab. He could have been healthier sooner, could have been in better shape sooner. I just, I don't know that the organization would ever look into that, but it sounds like they probably should. But you're right. It'll be a top three line in the NHL for sure. Stone, Pacioretty. And because look, Stone and Pacioretty have been able to put almost anyone in the middle and be just fine. Chandler Stephenson has looked incredible in that slot. He's a third line center at best anywhere else in the NHL, but those guys are so good. And Stone makes his center's game easier because he's so good defensively. You know, he's a Selke trophy candidate year in, year out for a reason. He's got a great hockey sense. Pacioretty really has been revitalized since coming to Vegas, coming out of Montreal. I think that once Eichel's on there, I don't think any team can survive as a one-line team, and I don't think that's a case with Vegas, which is why they'd be so scary. They are a depth team. Can they fit Eichel into the cap? Not as constructed right now, but I've been saying all year, Riley Smith's contract is probably the one that goes. It's an expiring contract with a $5 million cap hit. Now there's talk about Vegas also maybe bringing in some long-term IR help so they can stash that. get that cap space back and also use that. Ryan Kessler's name has come up as a possible deal from Anaheim. But, you know, Riley Smith may be one of the first guys to go here. And if Eichel's right, targeting a mid-February return, Mike, that we may have to shake the trade tree sooner than later.
Mm-hmm. And it certainly disrupts things in terms of that playoff race in the Pacific. And I know we want to talk about those other teams, but can I just throw out my little talking podcast trivia question for you?
Absolutely.
So Pacioretty is one of the handful of players in the NHL who've scored against all 32 teams, right?
Okay.
Who's the first goalie to have won a game against all 32 teams?
Oh, so that means beating the Kraken as well.
Mm-hmm. It happened. It just happened within the last 2 weeks.
Interesting. I'm going to say it's Marc-Andre Fleury.
Hey, boom, man. That's why I love doing these things with you.
Hey.
Good one, Tom.
Thank you.
All right. All right. So let's talk about L.A. and Anaheim. What's going on? Now, I think you and I have been really getting behind the Ducks bandwagon there and enjoying watching that resurgence. What's going on with L.A.? All of a sudden, they're winning, aren't they?
They really are. And holy cow, you know, it's funny. We talked about Tom McClellan. It was a little nugget, but Tom McClellan hit 500 wins, and we talked a little more expansively about it. You know, coaches in the NHL and what's going on, because Bruce Boudreau is coming on in Vancouver. What's going on in Edmonton, and are they going to replace the coach there? But very quietly, L.A. has just been, you know, minding their P's and Q's, playing their brand of hockey, and quietly they've been collecting wins and climbing the standings. And right now, as of our taping today on Tuesday, they have made their way into a tie for fourth place. They are ahead of the Sharks, and they are 1 point behind Calgary for third. I have not thought about Los Angeles until I saw that McClellan hit 500 wins this year. Hadn't even really paid attention.
No, thought they were just a team that was just kind of dragging along. Now, people have to remember this, though. If you get into the top four, that does not guarantee you a playoff spot.
Right.
Remember, it's top eight, right? The top three are guaranteed.
Right.
Right?
Right.
In each division. But you could have five from the Central, or you could have five from the Pacific. But just finishing fourth doesn't guarantee you that spot. But to me, I love the fact that there's more than four teams vying for those top four spots. I just think it makes it much more exciting as a fan watching the games. And again, only eight teams from each conference make it. So, you know, everybody talks, there's four teams. There probably might be even five teams at the Central. LA keeps going like this. There's not a guarantee that there's going to be four teams coming out of the Central Division. They may beat each other up so much that maybe the fifth team sneaks in from the Pacific. You think that's even possible?
Well, one thing I will say is that COVID makes anything possible this year. Because we have teams that are not playing games in droves, and then other teams that have not been as impacted have played. Let's see, I think the most games played right now, I see 37 for Tampa Bay, 38 for Vegas and Anaheim. That's the max in the league. But believe it or not, teams like Colorado, Boston, 31. Islanders have played 28.
Here's the thing, though, Tom. That may actually, in a sense, could help Tampa Bay and hurt those other teams who haven't played. They may have to jam in more games at some point, right? I mean, you're in a compacted schedule. You might end up playing 3 and 5 nights, where Tampa Bay might help them down the road since they played all these games. What do you think about that? Or does it help the teams that haven't played because they can make up some points and pass? I think it hurts. I think if the NHL is looking more and more like they're going to have to jam in a lot of games.
Well, can you ask me this question again after the Olympic break? Because I think the Olympic break is going to be the determining factor. And honestly, Mike, it's not to put off your question. It's an excellent question. Mm-hmm. But if you make up the bulk of these games in that 3-week stretch, then mm-hmm. I don't think these teams are going to be as affected by it. But if, as we talked about, you're trying to jam 10 games into 20 days down the stretch, total disadvantage to anybody mm-hmm. trying to do that, because you know they're not all going to be home games, and they're not all going to be convenient road trips, especially right. if you're in the Western Conference. So, yeah, I think it's going to come down to whoever's doing the scheduling for the NHL this year is really going to have to earn their pay for the next 2 months.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Dealing with a lot of arenas have already booked their spots, their dates. Yeah. Let's talk about Vancouver. Okay. Love what LA's doing. Love what Anaheim's doing. They're making this division interesting.
Yes.
Right? Calgary's been good. Edmonton, everybody, I think anybody would have thought before the season, probably Edmonton will finish top two, right? That they may not make the playoffs unless they get something fixed with their goaltending and some defense and start scoring them a little bit. I think I covered all the bases for hockey, didn't I?
If they just start coming to the rink on time and they go to practice and they eat their game day meal and take a nap.
Right.
You're right, exactly. though. You're
and
right.
And get some good coaching, right.
Yeah.
So, but let's talk about Vancouver. They made the coaching change. I like Travis Green, liked him as a person, just saw him make his first ever professional hockey game debut, and I was rooting for him, but boy, Bruce Boudreau, what a job he's done, Tom. What a job he's done.
Yes, and the stat today that I read was undefeated in regulation in the 6 weeks since he's taken over. Now, mind you, it's tough for Vancouver. They've only played 3 games in 25 days, again, because COVID and what right. have you, but they've won 8 of their last 10. And mm-hmm. they are at a point now where this is a team I pretty much written the Canucks off. They were bad. Yeah. But Boudreau's come in. He puts in that up-tempo, faster style, which, you know, it kind of – does it make you wonder what it would have been like to have him in Edmonton to see the results he's getting in Vancouver and the lack of talent? Nothing against Dave Tippett, but that's yeah. not how Tippett coaches.
No,
that's not his thing. And I just wonder, and not that I'm again for Tippett being fired, but I wonder if it's just kind of a mismatch of coach with talent in this case with Edmonton too, that's showing through. Now, look, still blame the goaltending and the terrible numbers there. Still blame, which is weird if they're trying to play a little bit more defensive heads up style and they're still letting in all these goals. That just tells you how thin they are talent wise on the back end defense and goaltending. But, man, just Vancouver is doing a job. San Jose, to me, is kind of that team in no man's land. I think Daryl Sutter's got Calgary going the right way. I believe in Anaheim now. I remember, Mike, 4 or 5 years ago, watching the San Diego Gulls in the American League, and they didn't win all the time, but they had the same coach, Dallas Eakins, and they had the talent on that team. Now, some of that talent's gone elsewhere. Shea Theodore, most famously, ended up with Vegas. But they had a lot of talent coming up through the ranks for Anaheim. And now, for whatever reason, it's coming together. I believe in Anaheim because I believe in their coach. I think they have one of the best goalies in the league that nobody ever talks about. And they're for real. So, look, Edmonton, Vancouver, if you guys want to get in the playoffs, and even San Jose, if the Sharks somehow find some consistency, you know, and maybe put Evander Kane behind them. But that's a lot going on for those teams. Everybody's got to hurdle somebody. But I think Vancouver, coming from seventh, being as hot as they are, I know they can't sustain it forever, but I think they have a really good chance of getting into that four-ish window and possibly challenging some teams in the West. Minnesota, struggling. Winnipeg, struggling. I think Colorado is Colorado, and they'll be just fine. Nashville is a surprise to me, and the Central St. Louis has put it back together. But those three look really good. They look like they're very good teams. So maybe that's your top three in the Central, and then, all right, let's see. We got 4 or 5 teams we could put in a blender in the rest of the West and see what happens.
What makes this interesting to me in the Pacific is that you don't have one or two teams that are just going to pick up all the wins off the bottom of that division. By other teams getting better, it makes it harder for a couple of teams just to kind of run away. And it makes it much more fun to watch as a fan, to watch what's going to happen, whether, you know, because every day, you know, every game's going to mean something. Points are going to be important. and the way that you play going, you know, if, are you going for two or going for that tie? You don't want, you know, in the shootout. I just find it fascinating, but I just think it's better not to have a couple of teams at the top, because we saw that last year. I thought that hurt the Central Division a little bit, the top teams last year in the Central, because they beat up so much on those lower teams. I think they were overrated going into the playoffs. And so I think that's good for the Pacific, that the teams are starting to move up and make it more competitive every night when they have division play.
Well, it is, and it's also, I mean, look, if you're Edmonton, if you don't start to see some desperation soon, we're headed towards the middle of January here. You know, right. What are you going to do, Edmonton Oilers? And same thing, the Canucks are showing their desperation. They started to play, and I think Vancouver made the coaching move at the right time, by the way. I think waiting any longer would have been a disaster, but Mike, I think they nailed it, and they're retooling this organization. I give them credit, because let's face it, not every team does the right thing at the right time. San Jose probably could use the same sort of transition. Honestly, they really could use a new, fresh perspective and a whole new way of looking at things. The cupboard's kind of bare in San Jose, and they're just a Midland team, and that's what they're going to be if they don't change. So I love the division. I love watching the Pacific right now. I think it's fun. I think it's great to see when it plays, of course, because half the teams are in Canada. But it's fun to see Vegas, who struggled early, and we said, geez, what's wrong with the Golden Knights? Well, I mean, yeah, they had some injuries and some issues, but they also weren't playing all that well. And now they've started to play well and they're getting better, and it's just, it's fun to watch. But looking at, I always like goal differential as a factor of who can only put the puck in the net, but keep it out too. Vegas, as expected, now is number one with their goal diff, as they have made that to plus 22. Calgary is second with plus 21.
Wow.
I don't necessarily think about a Daryl Sutter led team scoring a bunch of goals, but you know, and yeah, Vegas has 135 goals for, Calgary 104, but still, plus 21, they've only allowed 83 goals against. That's crazy low.
It is. But I think the story of the day certainly is it's a possibility that Eichel could, it's starting to skate now, and could come back, and we could see Pacioretty, Stone, and Eichel playing in Vegas.
Remember, We talked about it, Mike, and I said, Jack Eichel said middle of February, I said, well, I think March is more realistic. What do I know? I also am not a doctor, even on the podcast.
So apparently we're not going to open up a practice together then.
I mean, we hung up our shingle. People would come in. If laughter's the best medicine, maybe we can help some people. But that's about it. So
that's it.
So the balance of power may shift even a little more. And here's the other thing. So now those teams trying to catch up, if anyone's got a schedule with games still kind of loaded against Vegas within that division, maybe you've got 3-4 left against the Golden Knights. You aren't looking forward to that as much.
No. You certainly are not. So fascinating. I'm with you. I am going to keep a close eye and really watch what is now an entertaining Pacific Division.
Should be a lot of fun down the stretch. So, all right. Well, as always, we invite you to throw your comments at us online. I'm at Callahan on air on Twitter. He's at Buster the Dog 33. And certainly, you can chime in anytime you want on Sunday nights. We even like when you throw topics at us, little curveball topics out there.
Sure.
9 p.m. Eastern time. We're there on Twitch and on YouTube for Talking Puck TV. And if you like the podcast, please subscribe. We appreciate that as well. So for Mike Haynes, Tom Callahan, we will talk to you next time.